Around the NFL podcast are tanking for Tamposi.
Welcome to another edition of the Around the NFL podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I'm coming to you from a virtual room filled with heroes. Mark Sessler, Greg Rosenthal, what is up, boys?
I like to listen to that music. Ride it out.
I don't know what tanking for Tamposi means. I get it. There'd be a prize at the end, but we already have her working for us. So what would we be gaining if we put a terrible year's worth of episodes out to come in last place among podcasts?
We're on our way.
Yeah, not far off.
This is our Friday news rundown program. Very exciting time for the show because not only are we back to three podcasts a week, we have the NFL Network program, which is also airing digitally. So we're recording that today. It goes up. Where can people get it if they want to watch the digital version today, Friday?
NFL.com.
I know it's going to be too late, but
NFL.com, I think at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. I think they're putting it on YouTube streaming. You know, you can check it out on the network, 8 a.m. Eastern tomorrow, 11 a.m. Eastern. Yeah, they had a little Saturday morning with the kids. Forget cartoons.
I like to log on to that, like, 22-pound desktop computer we have in that one room that no one's using and watch it on
it's
NFL.com there.
Just 22 pounds?
I don't know. It's just like a gigantic piece of
You have it? You own a desktop still?
I do.
Yep. Wow.
It's not getting...
Are you going to bring it to the new house or just, like... That's
no,
getting lost in the mix.
That could be one of those things. We've had success just putting large objects at the end of our driveway.
Yes.
Then, like, a guy in a truck comes by and takes it away in about 8 seconds. This, in fact, will be the last time you ever see this entirely fake background.
Have you used, OfferUp or Let Go, those apps? Some guy came in a pickup truck and picked up my Bistro set yesterday and handed me $50 cash.
We've
I got that thing for free.
We've gone the less thorny free route. We're just sticking it out. We're in. You know, the 11th hour of this.
This is
shift across the city.
Stuff.
So,
you don't have anything to add, Dan?
I mean, it's good. I'm glad you got a plug in there for a company. Mark's telling us about the stuff he's putting on the street corner. But we got stuff to do because, like I said, we're doing a podcast today. We're doing a video show, and it's all there for you, the listener/viewer. So if you listen to this podcast after it goes up on the digital side at NFL.com today, know you can watch it on NFL Network tomorrow morning. And, you know, just giving you guys content for the rest of the summer until our format switches up a little bit, or scheduling once the season begins. And we'll tell you all about that. It might be familiar to last year, but with a little bit of a difference as well.
We're cranking. The season is starting in under 4 weeks. The kickoff game is what already happened 4 weeks from now.
Nice.
The Snoopy Bowl would have been played tonight, by the way.
That's the real loss here. If you look at what's happened to the country over the last 6-7 months, the Snoopy Bowl's disappearance.
Jets v. Giants. The game really hasn't been the same since Rex has been gone, but that's life. All right, before we get into the news, and this is just a news rundown show because, like I said, we're very busy today, but we need to be in touch with our wonderful listeners. I do have some developing news. Okay, so you guys know, obviously, on Wednesday's show, very exciting, we rolled out our new fan club. It is the Bengals Den. And this...
It's a fan club?
I don't know. I don't even really know what it is.
Fan
it's
destination.
It's a team we track.
It's a place we go.
A place we visit. And then... So it got off to a nice start there. But then a listener, Josh Rosnowski, and great job. Whenever you got a name like that, shut up, Thor. Whenever you got a name like that, Rosnowski, and then you could just bang it out at Roz, and then you're just Roz for the rest of your life, that's not bad. Roz
Good
is
work.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Anyway, Roz hits up me, Greg, and Mark. Greg never saw it. Here it is. Just listen to the pod. Great stuff as always. One thing, though, Bengal Tigers don't live in dens. They sleep in the open or wherever they happen to be. lions live in dens, hence why Ford Field is called the Den. Who knew? Maybe the Bengals rest. I don't know. That doesn't sound right to me. What do you, Mark? This feels like something we need to rectify.
Yeah, it does. I mean, you know, I did a little bit of work on my own because we were very correct in general. I mean, they originate in India. I found that they can swim from island to island, but it left me no closer to a name suggestion. Mm. So I don't know where we are with that.
Well, it does point out that Bengal tigers and maybe the Bengals are bigger badasses than lions going out and like hiding in their den. Tigers, I did see the tweet right before we started and checked its accuracy. And it's like, yeah, they usually just like sleep out in the open right next to the prey that they just ate. I mean, what's awesome. More badass than that?
That's pretty cool. So here's what I'm thinking. Since there is no den, we got to get him out of that den. So what we're going to do is we're going to move him to a sanctuary and we'll become our Bengal sanctuary. Hey. And to do that, listen, Greg, you think it's problematic? We're just getting started. Ricky, let's move these Bengals. Just the tranquilizer dart. Don't worry. Wow. There we go.
Are you sure that was a tranquilizer?
Is that allowed? No.
Pretty sure this was a tranquilizer gun. Let's bag and tag these suckers and get into the sanctuary. And now we're going to have a Bengal sanctuary. It's going to be great. We're going to take care of them.
We're just taking them away in a forklift. I feel like there's going to be interference from certain groups.
The word sanctuary means that they're ultimately like rescue animals that couldn't survive on their own in the wild. I don't think you would call it a sanctuary if you're like brutally... hurting them.
You know, I knew you would have a problem with this.
I'm just saying, I've been to sanctuaries. The kids love the sanctuaries. It's all like, three-legged tigers, and, you know, they were found in some place where they can't live, so it's the only way they could survive. Or someone tried to have a tiger in their bathtub.
They are endangered as a species.
Right, yeah.
Greg, you got to get your head out of the clouds. How do you think these tripod tigers get to the sanctuary? You can't just pick them up or put a leash on them.
Well, they just take them there on the metro or something very safely, no problems.
Everything's being done in a humane manner. Now we have this beautiful sanctuary. And at the end of the season, Greg, and this I think will make you feel better, we plan to set them free in an open field
in the United
somewhere
States?
In India. Okay. Bombay. Downtown Bombay is my plan.
Bombay.
Beautiful. Beautiful jungle.
The Sahara, you know, I think they like that.
All right, we'll take care of them. All right. Let's do some news. Now that we've tackled that.
The only face right now. The f*** off the block. Wrong with you. I know that they had the crib.
There he is. Drake dropped a video at midnight. Drake, who you may remember, number 5 on the top 10 things I love about Canada. He's doing the thing. He's doing Drake stuff. And that was Marshawn Lynch, Beast Mode himself, jacking up Drake in the open field and then insulting him in a nice little interlude. Greg, you look very confused.
Well, I hadn't seen the clip with OBJ and Drake. The song in general, where he seems to be coming after Pusha T and kind of, I don't know. Drake, this part of the Drake career, not as into. Right now.
Like what about you, Ricky? You seem to be in agreement?
The video's really, really funny. Like, Drake's crying, and he's, like, in a Nike store, like, repetitively, like, the Nike ball switch. Like, it's like, we get who paid for your video,
Drake. He's at Nike headquarters in Oregon.
Yeah, it's insane. His whole video, it's worth checking out, and it's very funny. It's not a good song.
He is the most streamed artist. Mark, you're big on streaming. Mm. He is the most streamed artist in the history of music. He actually surpassed Eminem somewhat recently. So Drake is on some, by one measure at least, the most successful artist of all time. I think he's hit that level or period of his career now where he's probably peaked creatively, but he's more famous than ever. So the music will probably continue to go down, but his fame will continue to stay where it is. And I think it comes through artistically in little things. Like if you watch that video, the verbal hook of the song is he goes, baby, over and over. And all through the video, he has things like he comes out of submerged water and says, baby. And one time He's like on a basketball court and he gets dunked on. He turns his head and goes, baby. Like all he's trying to do is get a meme. He's just trying to go viral at this point. So he knows what he's doing.
I don't think so. I jumped on the Taylor Swift bandwagon late. This doesn't sound like the right one to jump on.
No, not right now. I do feel like people our age, though, I'm including the guys in the room now that we're all over 40. You know, Dan is right there with us.
I'm there.
I feel like our era probably doesn't have enough respect. That Drake is, he will go down with like Michael Jackson and Prince for a younger generation as that influential and that in like one of the greats, which may, you know, you got to give him that respect, which I don't know if he gets from the over 40 crowd.
Well,
but he will.
Well, he got it from me. Top five best Canadian things.
Hey, also, you guys, fun little nugget. Our podcast listeners, it shows you who listens to Around the NFL on Spotify. And one of the top streamed artists from our listeners happens to be Drake. So let's not alienate him. Huh. We love Drake.
Go. We're like 13 minutes into the show. We've covered, recycling right, removal, Bengals lair. Drake.
We were being scolded for, you know, going slightly off track about 10 and a half minutes ago, and look where we are.
Is there anything else that's going out on the street corner this weekend, Mark?
No, I mean, there's a lot more I can offer, but
You're moving. It's exciting.
Nobody cares at all, I don't think. So I'll see you when I get to the next place.
And it's the Bengals sanctuary. Great.
Yeah.
We don't want to get any more tweets. All right, let's get to it. Tight ends getting paid in the NFL. George Kittle and the 49ers in agreement. 5 years, $75 million. Of that $75 million total, more than half of it is made up of guarantees. $30 million guaranteed at signing. $40 million guaranteed for injury. Still don't know what that means. $18 million arriving via a signing bonus. It makes him the highest paid tight end by a wide margin, surpassing Gronk. But guess what happened next? Right after that signing, Travis Kelce got a deal done. Interesting numbers here. 4 years, $57 million. Keeps him in KC for the next six seasons. The deal is worth between $14 and $15 million per year in new money average. Kelce, older than Kittle. He's turning 31 in October, but he had 2 years left on his deal. And Greg, riddle me this, because you're good with the cap numbers and things like that, or you're the closest to being competent in this realm on our podcast. The Chiefs had no cap space, according to figures that were public a couple months ago, and then they signed Patrick Mahomes to a $500 million deal and then made the tight end Travis Kelce the second highest paid tight end in league history. How did they do it?
They backloaded them. They are not, you know, Patrick Mahomes especially is not making that much money in cash or anything over the next 2 years. He got a bump, but once you spread that money over the 10 years of the Mahomes contract, you actually save a little money with that $500 million contract. And then Kelce, it's the same similar thing where they're pushing a lot of the guarantees into the future. They're spreading the money out. They did not have to do this. This was absolutely a move that they are telling Travis Kelce how much they value him, that they think they're getting a solid deal on him long term, but that Patrick Mahomes' contract, which was very team friendly, as strange as that sounds, I think made it more possible for them to sign Chris Jones and for them to sign Travis Kelce. And that's all part of the mix. Like, the guarantees are coming later in the deal. They're pushing a lot of money into the future. You're smiling, yeah. Dan.
I mean, we're in a place now, too, where, you know, players all around the league, you've got these guys that they'll spend the whole offseason talking about the money they should be making. They want to be the highest paid this or that. And their team goes 4-12. The Chiefs are very dangerous right now because they have three super key components that this offseason agreed to super team friendly deals that allows this nucleus to stay together. It's team friendly in the sense that there is no signing bonus.
Yeah,
for any of them. You look at Kelce's breakdown over the years. I mean, I'm not saying it's bad for the player either. They're making a ton of cash, but you're not going to find a lot of teams where the players talked about, we just want to be here. We want to keep this together. I think the Seahawks had to sign a bunch of guys to bundle deals years ago, their whole defense. But, you know, it's so hard to keep it together. With this case, you can look at Mahomes and Kelsey, and I think Kelsey is the – he's not going to fade in the next year or two the way that he – you look at his career, I just think he's going to live through most of this contract. It's his third one. I love the deal for the Chiefs and maybe a little less so for Kelsey.
Hmm. 2 years left, as though. Far you as don't usually get paid with 2 years left.
Right.
I mean, it's the type of contract the Patriots never get Rob Gronkowski. And I was tweeting about this, and like people had a conversation sort of about, okay, Kittle got way more than the next highest paid tight end in the league, but he's still getting less than the top 10 wide receivers. It doesn't really make sense. And I think it goes back to Rob Gronkowski, who signed a contract in the after 2 years of his contract to start his career, that he played the entire thing out. He was by far the best tight end in the league, and he was dramatically underpaid. I understood why he took the contract at the time. It was only 2 years into his career, 3 years off of a back surgery that people thought was chronic, and he was setting himself up for the rest of his life. But the Patriots weren't given contracts like this that the Chiefs gave to Travis Kelce, that's for sure.
It speaks to the culture of fear and intimidation that was going on behind the scenes when the Patriots were special, when Belichick held all the cards.
What are you talking about?
Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, the two greatest players in the history of their position, signing way below market deals.
It wasn't below market at the time. People thought that they were taking a huge risk because he had just come off back surgery.
Continues to resonate to this day, hurting players in the wallets because Bill wanted what Bill wanted, and he got it. He got those rings, and he got those guys under contract.
It's kind of silly, though, that tight ends make that much less. It doesn't really. How does that make any sense? Why does he make less than Jarvis Landry? To me, he's as valuable as any single wide receiver in the NFL.
Right, but there's probably only like four or five tight ends that we're talking about that deserve these big wide receiver contracts. Well, of course, but I mean, the position itself shouldn't, as a whole, be elevated. A bunch of tight ends don't do anything.
He's the most important pass catcher in their offense. He is one of the most important blockers on their offense, so he affects all phases of the game. Maybe that's something that gets addressed in time, but if it's not happening for Kittle now, I don't know who it's going to have to be that's going to get that wide receiver money. Let's move on. Everson Griffin, off the market, the four-time Pro Bowler, has signed with the Dallas Cowboys. After 10 years with the Vikings, he signs a one-year deal worth $6 million. We're getting wild now, by the way, over on the .com in terms of, I know we want to make sure all the mouths are fed on who did the reporting, but we got a triple source attribution here. According to Rap Sheet and Tom Pelissero and Jane Slater, all three of them have reported this, so I think it feels safe. We triple sourced our own reporting there within our own building. That's the next level. Usually, as an insider, I'll tell you, you go for the triple source, and that comes from three sources outside the building. Mm. What we're doing here at the NFL.com is we're triple sourcing internally. With something.
So that would be nine sources outside the building. Three times three. Math. I mean, insiders are getting peppered by the same sources, which I think that probably feels likely too. And they're all Stephen Jones, basically.
It feels like a move where I think Tom and Jane, you know, kind of broke it together. And then Ian just tries to jump in and get his name in there.
How about this just for the sake of a copy? Because Mark, you and I remember this on the desk and when we were all the ATN writers, why don't we just create a person like a Frankenstein, Ian Pellislater? We don't have to put all these names.
I like the idea of that. I doubt they will.
Let's get the focus back on Ball, 32 years old. Griffin, we know he can play. He's had some off the field issues that led to struggles for him at the end of his Minnesota run or took him off the field. But Mark, this feels like a really nice value add for the Cowboys, who get a proven player at a cost that is well below what you would expect a player of Griffin's ability.
I love it for Dallas. I mean, we talked about the fact that there really just wasn't someone across from DeMarcus Lawrence, that the pass rush was weak. You put him on a line that also has Gerald McCoy, Dontari Poe. I think this was a wonderful move for Dallas at a great cost for 1 year. They have sort of NFC title game vibe to me if things go right. And, you know, Griffin has talked about, like, he with those issues that he dealt with 2 years ago, that he is continuing to work with the right people to make sure that that doesn't bubble up again. You know, not super sure what's going on with all that, but last year he was very productive, and I think it's kind of it's a loss that after being linked to returning to the Vikings all along and so many changes in Minnesota that they didn't get Everson Griffin back. That he goes to Dallas, a team that probably will vie for a division title or with the Vikings for a wild card spot and potentially could be the difference here.
Well, the Vikings didn't want him. I don't know what the story is there. He's certainly one of the most productive players for the Vikings over the last 10 years, including last year. He had more knockdowns, QB hits, than Nick Bosa and Aaron Donald. He was in the top 20 in hurries, too. He was in the top 10 in knockdowns and had 8 sacks, too. So something was going on, but they had no interest in bringing him back. Because
why do you think, though? Because they mentioned that they were open to it months ago.
Maybe it was a mutual thing, but they certainly weren't interested in paying him very much money, or else they would have. I mean, they gave like $9 million to a nose tackle in Michael Pierce from Baltimore. They're starting a seventh rounder from 3 years ago at defensive end. And Dallas, who I thought was really thin up front, they still have very much a boom or bust kind of defensive line. Is McCoy and Poe free agents and Alden Smith and Griffin all going to work together well? I don't know. Those are all kind of like upper age guys, at the back half of their career. But they all were pretty productive last year. On paper, like, that could be the key to their team. If that defensive line is great, they could fly. And if not, then the secondary, which doesn't look nearly as great, could get exposed.
Mark, this is not really related, although it is Cowboys related. You mentioned that they could be a team you see gets to the NFC Championship game. Do you realize, boys and listeners, that the Dallas Cowboys have not even made the Conference Championship game in the NFC in a quarter century? Forget about getting to the Super Bowl. They haven't even gotten to the NFL's version of the Final Four in 25 years since they won the Super Bowl in the 1995 season.
Well, I mean, they were perfectly, there was, like, how more milquetoast could the Jason Garrett experience have been? And they hung around with that much longer than some teams would. But I am aware of that, because I think that the draping over Jerry Jones for a long time has been all the hoopla draping the team. Like, they
but
really
hold up now.
Cowboys.
I know we like to take our shots on Jason Garrett, but Jason Garrett got there in 2010. There were 15 years before that.
I think midway through Garrett's career, I think Jerry Jones, and then you throw in Steven Jones. Let the front office change some of their strategies a little bit. Their draft's improved, and they have the roster now to get to an NFC title game if things go right.
They've had a good quarterback, though, for 15 years now in a row.
Yes,
So that's a disappointment. That stat, I think, is not a surprise to Dallas fans, that's for sure. That is, like, mentioned every morning on Dallas radio. It's kind of the John Abraham stat for the Jets, that the Jets have not drafted a pass rusher since John Abraham. And by the way, Dan, I've seen that twice in copy regarding the Jets.
They can't stop. The Jets beat writers
one of your
can't
boys
let it
in
go.
The Athletic, yeah, had it. And I've seen it twice in the build-up to the season.
Connor Hughes, yeah, of the Athletic. No, the Jets have not had a pass rusher since the John Abraham trade in 2005. It's been a while. But all right,
it's
in other news here.
An important position, though, so I could see why they'd go elsewhere. You don't really need one of those.
You know what's crazy? Like, even the Jets, who stink, and they don't know how to do anything, it seems, they went to their conference title game twice in the last 11 years. The Cowboys, 25 years. It's almost impossible to believe. All right, the Falcons added Todd Gurley this offseason. They're hoping that he finds the fountain of youth. They're hoping that what the Rams believed, that they once had a franchise-altering talent at running back, but knee issues made him a pedestrian player, and they decided to take a financial bath to just move on from Gurley. Dan Quinn and company, welcome in Gurley. He will be limited, it appears, once the team gets into legitimate training camp practice. This from Vaughn McClure, great name, of ESPN. And McClure added, and you could arch your eyebrow here, that Gurley has been spotted limping while he walks at practice and wearing one of those compression socks over his surgically repaired and arthritic left knee. However, this is the old, Sessler on the fence. This is how McClure covered himself. He's also moved very well in practice. Sit on that fence, McClure.
Well, I mean, he's reporting. He's watching, He's watching non-padded practice.
I'm just having some fun.
Put on the Todd Gurley tape. That's all I need to see. You know, it's this weird thing. People are like, well, if Todd Gurley like gets right, it's like, well, he's second in the league in carries over the last 2 years. He's been on the field. We've seen a lot of Todd Gurley since midway through 2018, and he's there and he's fine. He's a running back who ran hard last year, didn't make many people miss. I would say was around league average for a starter. I'm surprised he got the contract he did. Like, it's wild to me he got about the same amount of money that Everson Griffin got and that Bruce Irvin got from Seattle. Seahawks fans, by the way, trying to convince themselves that they didn't want Everson Griffin. Please. You're paying Bruce Irvin more money than Griffin? Come on.
Ouch.
Is that what Seahawks fans are doing?
They are. I follow too much of Seahawks Twitter, and there was a lot of we didn't want Everson Griffin anyways.
I think it's very interesting that Greg is very plugged in on certain Twitter feeds and pockets of Twitter, but then conveniently didn't even see certain tweets that we raise up into conversation. So I'd like to
muted all those people.
Well,
are you insinuating that he's lying to us, that he sees everything?
No, because I think Greg is, we all have our quirks, and I could see Greg muting and not seeing certain things. I could see that happening. And I don't have any more analysis on that topic.
All right. In other news, good luck to you, Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley always seemed like a good guy. I'm bummed because we live in LA and he really is a kind of a dynamic, charismatic type dude, it seems. And he should have been a big part of the city's sports landscape, but man.
He's still in those
sports.
Gatorade ads, or is that Powerade? Whatever it is, those ads, I think it's on during the NBA. It's every 5 seconds. And it's like, hey, it's the biggest stars in sports. You know, it's like Bryce Harper and whoever and Todd Gurley. And I was like, huh, it's interesting that Gurley's still in there.
Those billboards came down in a hurry.
What?
I hope it wasn't Powerade. Like, Powerade is like the Wrangler jeans to Gatorade's Levi's.
Maybe it's Gatorade. I don't know.
Powerade.
In other news, the Bills do some business. They give their left tackle, Deion Dawkins, a 4-year, $60 million extension. Rap Sheet and Rap Sheet alone reported the deal is worth $60 million with $34 million guaranteed. This is another hit by the front office in Buffalo, a 2017 second-round pick. Who was entering the final year of his contract. So you play out your deal, you get to the final year, then your team takes care of you. It's not that complicated. Now he's tied to Buffalo through 2024.
Hey, what are you trying to say?
What do you think?
Goes back to Jamal Adams?
Yeah, we'll get to Jamal in a second, but just a little bit of patience. You know, Axl Rose taught us about patience.
Well, on the part of the player, I mean...
Yeah. Well, patience. Anyway, Dawkins has started 43 games in 3 years in Buffalo.
Wait, but he started the same amount of money, the same amount of games as Jamal Adams. Right? And they took care of him. They took care of him.
Hasn't missed a start.
They took care of him.
Yeah, he's entering the final year of his...
Yeah.
He's entering the final year of his rookie deal,
right? So this would be the time to pay Jamal Adams, I think, by that logic, right?
Well, we didn't have the opportunity. Because the Dallas Cowboys called my GM and my GM picked up the phone. And that was it. That was the end of the relationship.
A lot of money.
This is
kind of gets to my Kittle thing. Like, you just have to be kind of like an average starting left tackle. Maybe Dawkins is a little better than that. You know, he's a good young player. He's a good starter. If you find a left tackle, you just keep him. But he's kind of getting the same as George Kittle money. I guess it just is interesting to me how that works.
Well, I just think there's no questions about the left tackle market. And the tight end market should have tight ends. And then STEs, like super tight ends. Like, there's four or five of them. Those guys make that money. That should be making more.
A little too close to STDs. Yeah,
it does. Even as I was saying that, I knew that was coming.
ST.
as many STDs as possible.
How about PGTEs? Pretty good tight ends get less and... VGTEs, very good tight ends.
A two STD offense. That's what we like.
They're very stable on the offensive line in Buffalo. That's what you're looking for. This was a terrible offensive line for years and years. It is one of the hardest things to kind of rebuild, I think. It's going to be your boy, Joe Douglas' biggest challenge here. And I don't know if they're a great offensive line, but they're stable, and they're going to be fine. They're not going to be the reason that the Bills' season goes off track or not.
Speaking of Jamal Adams, defensive coordinator of the Jets, Greg Williams, got himself, he stepped in it a little bit in his Zoom meeting with the media on Thursday. Adams came up and the context was, you know, what's going to be the difference between the way Greg Williams used Jamal Adams as a jack of all trades on his defense and what's going to happen now that Adams is playing for a different team over in the Pacific Northwest. Here's how the eloquent Greg Williams put it.
Jamal may get bored there because they don't use their safety type things and all the different complexities of maybe this,
you got it, Greg. Go.
Not showing go, Greg. What they're doing as much as we do.
I mean, can I speak for the Triple G's out here? Greg Williams is one of us. That stumbling he had was him realizing as he was talking, oh, I just stepped into it again. I just, yep. For no reason, I said something that was unrelated to the question, and it wasn't really mean-spirited, I don't think, but I just stepped into it.
Well, and
he's
I already gave
them the headline.
I do that all the time.
I already gave him the headline.
I don't have headlines.
Jamal Adams will be bored in Seattle. I gave them the headline. Now I got to find a way to massage this. And he wasn't prepared to do the massaging, and things went off the rails.
Like midstream, he's realizing that he's taking down the architects of the Legion of Boom. And like Cam Chancellor responded to this. Earl Thomas probably has a few words to say about it. Greg Williams took Jabril Peppers and played him about 40 yards deep for an entire season 2 years ago in Cleveland.
You knew what he meant. You knew what he meant.
But I know. I don't think he was mean-spirited, but I mean, it's just like he just, you know, what there's too many people talking all the time.
Greg Williams is a excellent defensive coordinator. I mean, I really do think he's great. The Jets, who had almost no talent last year besides Jamal Adams, were a top 10 defense.
I wish Wes was here. Me and Wes used to be arguing about Greg Williams on this podcast back in 2014. Now it could be you and Wes. It'd be fun.
He's also the most successful head coach in the history of the Cleveland Browns, 1999 to present. So this man has had some football success.
Well, he's going to be your head coach in about 2 months. So you're signing up for the same ride. And then he'll be gone. And the Dan defends Greg Williams campaign will end at that point. Well, he'll have no
Pete
more
Carroll
ties to
responded,
him.
By the way, Pete Carroll said, you know, we're so simple here and basic. You know, we probably won't get to any of that stuff. You know, that might be a good idea. And then later, and you could tell Pete Carroll was annoyed because he brought it up out of nowhere. They asked what Adams brought to the team as a pass rusher. And he said, well, he's not bringing Greg Williams with him, that's for sure. And later said the Seahawks defense doesn't make as many mistakes as the Greg Williams defense. So it was good. They're all speaking facts.
I think the Jets had a better defense than the Seahawks last year, but I'm sure with Jamal Adams.
Oh, definitely.
The Seahawks will probably have a better defense than the Jets because he's an impact player. All right. Finally, in the news, did we hit everything? I think we got everything.
Not a huge news. The helmets are on, but they're not really like tackling and stuff. I think it feels like Monday is like the almost unofficial start of like real football.
Did we hit the Bengals Den thing?
Yes, we did.
Hey, Ricky, was that? Did you check the ballistics on that? That was a tranquilizer dart, right?
Yeah. Sounded okay. Yeah, it was for sure.
I don't want PETA or anything coming after us. Almost, it was definitely a tranquilizer dart.
I mean,
right, Erica?
That would have PETA coming after you, wouldn't it? I don't think they're fans of the tranquilizer dart.
What is the overall scope of, you know, I think we're trying to take these animals to a safe place. He's still active. Bring,
back out the truck. It looks like we bagged another one.
I mean, I respect the Bengal tiger. Put any one of us in a room with a Bengal tiger. We'll see how many jokes and sound drops you're doing.
Wait, what's your take here?
I'm saying us versus the Bengal tiger. We're stuck in a room. You're not going
to
be.
Who's arguing with you on that?
We're taking them to a sanctuary, a safe place.
You think, Mark? You're absolutely right. What Greg is failing to understand here, because I see Greg is doing the thing where he's going. Towards the, wow, this bit's a little too far.
I'm having fun. I'm having fun.
Beyond the pale. No, what we're doing with the Bengals, we're taking them to a sanctuary. And we're taking care of them, bagging and tagging them, and then we set them free at the end of the season.
It's a little nap.
So what is the purpose? What are you trying to accomplish in these months?
Well, we stuff them into a den. And apparently, you do not do that with a Bengal tiger. That's for lions. So we had already, like Greg Williams, stepped in it.
Mm.
And now we need to kind of retrace our steps, step out of the poop, and we have to rectify the situation.
I mean, Dan, your final step is to drop them off in downtown Bombay. I think that might need some rewriting.
Mm.
That just sounds like total human chaos.
We have time. Oh, before we go, we have breaking news. This courtesy of the latest banger from Nick Shook over on NFL.com. Yeah, boy, Mark. Baker Mayfield admits he lost himself in 2019, but he feels better getting back to the basics in 2020.
I like everything I'm hearing out of Cleveland, including the fact that, you know, I feel like this wasn't even allowed back then, but Kevin Stefanski, their coach, got on a plane and flew to Texas to hang out with Baker Mayfield for a bunch of time in February, and everything since, Baker Mayfield's body looks tight.
Mm.
Arrow up.
Mm. He also said, you know,
they
asked him about, you know, kind of all the challenges they have, and he said, we've said as a team, the more time we do complaining, that's the less time we have to work. This is a new Browns
That's my team. Mantra.
This is a new
move in silence.
Erica, do we still have another breaking news? I got another one for you. Let's do it.
I think our network show started.
Right. Our micropod must get to 55
Let's do
minutes.
It. Let's do it, Erica. Hit it, Ricky. Tavon Austin is back. You thought he was gone when he signed that big contract on Hard Knocks 4 years ago. He's on the 49ers. They signed J.J. Nelson, too. Their receiver group is not looking too good with Debo Samuel hurt, by the way. You're looking for a reason for the 49ers to take a step back. Count a lot on Brandon Ayuk, a rookie receiver. And
wait, you also have them. You had their secondary on the come down players of 2020.
Well, they look like the best team in football in some ways, but I'm trying to look for some ways that maybe they could run into problems. Not a good receiver.
12-4.
You're signing Tavon Austin and J.J. Nelson right now.
One of my favorite tropes ever, and it finally stopped this year because he's just a camp body more or less. But Tavon Austin, when I don't know who it was maybe one of the Jones boys, maybe Stephen Jones, said that Tavon Austin last summer was going to get like 15 to 20 touches a game, and I think he had 15 for the entire season. That is a former top 10 overall pick, Tavon Austin, who, and still one of the most shocking moments in Hard Knocks history. Got a fat contract extension during that 2016 Hard Knocks season. I can't believe Jeff Fisher didn't survive. I can't believe Wes Snead survived that contract.
Hmm.
Well, Wes Snead, friend of the show, but I will say there are a couple contracts out there in Rams land.
That's not how I operate, suspect. Mark. You got to call it as you see it. You know, we could talk about friends all day on this show.
We've just put like a wreath of flowers on Greg Williams' head, so I don't buy a word of it. I mean, it's all about what works for today.
I did not put a wreath of flowers on Greg Williams' head. I
like
said
200 times you have since last offseason.
He's a good defensive coordinator and the best Browns coach of all time, 1999 to present.
Well, I see what you're trying to do, but I'm just not going to fall for it this time. He's the best coach on the Jets staff, which means they're totally disorganized.
It's fine. They'll be fine. 12-4. Shock the world, baby. All right. Again, we got a network show coming up, so check that out Saturday morning. DVR it. In fact, if you have it already recorded, I checked my own DirecTV. It will record, but double check if you have a season pass and give us some love or watch it in real time. It's very early, potentially, but do it. And we'll be back Monday with another episode of this there audio show. Let's go. Dan Hansen signing off for Quiet Storm. The Old Boss. Ricky Hollywood of West Hollywood. Get hot. Till Monday.